Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Okay, you call Jefferson America's founding gardener. He had a good garden?
Fantastic. It's absolutely gorgeous.
He had a little bit of an advantage over modern gardeners in that he had slaves, though. Because those guys I pick up in front of the Home Depot, they're cheap, but they're not slaves. Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of Americans, my understanding is, do their gardening in their closet with a grow light.
Yes.
What does that say about us? What does that say about America as a culture?
We're a culture that values our privacy.
and our munchies. Thank you so much for joining us.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. He's green, so don't make him angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. Here he is, Mike Novak. And they pay me for this, folks. Okay.
One more time.
You do pay me for that. Are you crazy?
Way too much, I might add. Good morning, okay.
It is morning.
I know, and I was going to do the stupid, what is ball of sun or ball of fire in sky?
Exactly.
You know, but who cares? You know,
it's breathtaking is what it is.
It's really nice. It was yesterday and today,
yes.
And wow, spring. Ooh. Okay, everybody, everybody relax.
Yeah.
It's spring.
I actually went to a luncheon yesterday where I received four packages of seeds, and obviously I immediately thought of you.
Really? What'd you get?
I got two things of poppies, something of tomatoes.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, they were poppies. Like
from Karzai? Did he give you those?
No. And I didn't get them from, you know, any green face ladies and promise me red shoes or anything like that either. But that, carrots and tomatoes.
Cool.
Is it too late to plant all that stuff?
No.
All right.
Oh, well, tomatoes. You know. Carrots is fine, you know. And poppies, I don't know. It depends what kind of poppies they are. They're probably annual poppies, in which case, yeah, you probably get them fine. Tomatoes, obviously, everybody gets them started ahead of time. So we're going to be putting them out in 4 weeks.
Well, I happened to mention that I worked for this gardening show, and before I knew it, everyone was flinging their seed packages at me, like, oh, you want mine? Here you go. And I was like, sure, I'll take them.
Yeah, but they were throwing them edge on.
Almost. They were aiming for my neck. What was up with that?
I don't know. Like ninja.
Ninja poppy.
Weapons, yeah. Good morning, everybody. It's the vivacious Heather Fry. Mark Munger is also in the studio with us. Say hello, Mark.
Hello. Yeah. I'm less vivacious.
Yeah. You're a lot less vivacious.
Coffee hits me fast. It's a blessing.
And you were talking about seeds. Today we are revealing in just a few minutes. Oh, this is the other thing I forgot to get. Was a drum roll. Too late for that. I'll have you guys do the drum roll.
We'll do our best.
One seed Chicago winner is being announced.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. We'll do that in just a few minutes. Mr. Brown Thumb will be here. In fact, you should probably tweet. P- put at Mr. Brown Thumb going to be on the show so that every tweeter from here to Pasadena and then east to Newark, New Jersey. Well, I don't even see the screen up here. That screen is dead. That's okay. I'll look at mine. Mr. Brown Thumb is here to announce the winner of the one seed Chicago. Will it be? Radish. Ew. Will it be? Eggplant. Ew. Or will it be Swiss chard? Yeah. We'll find out in just a few minutes. In the second hour of the show, and you know what? We're going to talk to Rick DeMaio, weather, of course, at 9:30. This outbreak of tornadoes was...
Oh, my God.
I know. He's got some really interesting insight into where tornadoes happen and why so many people died in this. Remember, we were unfortunately kind of patting ourselves on the back last week about how modern meteorology allows people to get warnings in time. And then, of course, that didn't happen this week. But I don't think anybody had a chance. There were so many and they were so violent and they were so strong.
They were so abrupt. They just,
yeah, well,
bam,
but,
bam,
but,
bam, bam.
But Rick's got some insight into that, about why that happened. And so Rick DeMaio will be here at 9:30 to talk about that. In the second hour of the show, this is a cool thing that's going on. Of course, not colony collapse disorder. That's not cool. And that, of course, is the disappearance of honeybees throughout the planet. But a fellow named Taggart Siegel has come up with a documentary film called Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us? Now, it's running right now at the Music Box Theater. I don't mean this second, but today, tomorrow, through Thursday at the Music Box Theater at 3733 North Southport Avenue in Chicago. He's on the program in the second hour today, and I am going to introduce the film on Tuesday at the Music Box Theater. La-di-da, at the 7:30 showing. I know a little bit about this because I have, obviously I talk about it a lot on the show, or I have talked it in the past, and I've written about it in Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. This film is really beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautifully shot film. And what we will do is we will give away some tickets today. And I think what we'll do is ask bee questions. So, look at that. Lizzie's Flowers writes, "Go, Mike, the sun is out, baby." Woot, woot.
Zan writes, "Just need to say I'm feeding you eggplant anyway, no matter what the outcome of One Seed Chicago is." Because that, I don't know if any of our listeners recall, but our not dabbling Zan has been on Team Eggplant from the very beginning and wants you to try some delectable eggplant dishes.
You know, there are some people who are deluded, and they just they can't be helped.
Eggplant is good. Eggplant parmesan, and like eggplant's a
You don't like baba ganoush? Baba ganoush is delicious. How can you not like baba ganoush?
You're just saying it is fun.
What did you call me?
Eggplant.
He called me a baba ganoush. Do you have some? You got some in your back pocket or
always,
something?
I always carry a little baba ganoush.
Oh, see?
For good
kids
luck.
Kids got moxie. Moxie and baba ganoush, you can't go wrong.
So we need to do some bee questions in this, and nothing involving Jerry Seinfeld, okay? Please. But we'll do that, and we're going to give away some of those tickets to Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us, at the Music Box Theater. And I hope we give them away for a Tuesday show, because, if I'm introducing the film, probably nobody's going to show up. So we'll need to paper the house. Greg Exidy from Bobex is going to be here in the second hour as well and talk about not just Bobex, because, you know, as I've said, I have a number of products, that great companies or advertisers on my show on how to keep critters out of your yard. We're going to talk about what the spring weather has done, how it has affected eating habits among critters this morning. Not just this morning, but this spring. We'll talk about it this morning. And also about how Bobex recycles. They recycle a lot of stuff in putting their products together. So Greg Exidy will be here. And then finally, in Sustainable Food Fundamentals, brought to you by Pearl Valley Organics. Meg Runyon from Wild Goose Farm in Grays Lake, Illinois. And she's another one of those farmers in training. I'm amazed at how many farmers in training there are, and through classes that have been set up all over the place. Angelic Organics Learning Center is among the organizations that helps facilitate these things, and they always help me set up my sustainable food fundamental segment. And it's encouraging to see how many people want to become farmers. We need food, all right? And we need good food, and we need a healthy food. So that's all on the show today. Oops, I'm seeing something on
Twitter.
But that's Zan. She's just going to, like, try to paper the Twitter.
Don't tempt her. She's got mite in those
fingers. She said she's proudly wearing her team eggplant shirt. Yeah.
Eggplant chili, eggplant risotto, eggplant bread, mm-hmm. baby.
Maybe I'll even talk.
I'd like some eggplant bread there, Zan.
But only if you can deliver it before the end of the show. If you can get it here, I'll give you some props.
Do we even know where we are?
What do you mean?
Like,
do we even know where we are?
It was a joke, but never mind.
Oh, okay.
Because you're Paca Taco Zaca Taco.
Oh, yeah.
Thing,
well, yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. Hey, and take some eggplant to Zaca Tacos and Paco's Tacos and see how.
I bet it would be delicious.
They probably
with
add
the chorizo
it to the
and
recipe.
The cilantro, and I'm
all
sure
right.
they do.
All on the Mike Novak Show this morning. We're going to talk to Mr. Brown Thumb in just a sec. Here's a real quote from a real person, and I was just mentioning Bobex, and this real person used Bobex deer repellent. Here's the quote. I finally saw my daylilies. I think that says it all. You need to know that to deer, daylilies are bonbons and tulips. Well, don't even think about planting tulips unless you have deer in the neighborhood, unless you have Bobex in your arsenal. You know what I'm thinking? And those of you who follow me on Facebook, you might want to go to... I didn't put it on the Mike Novak Show, but I put it on Mike Novak Facebook page. How the gangbangers sort of... lopped off my tulips in my neighborhood. They just took them out the other day.
Those gangbangers are ruthless. They knocked over your tulips?
And they're so tough. They can just slap tulip blooms off of plants. Wow.
Remorseless.
I'm impressed.
Yes, they're there.
They're awesome, aren't they? Yeah, I may talk about that. So I'm thinking of putting some Bobex on next time so it'll keep the gangbangers away. We'll get into that later. Bobex will give your bonbons a chance to survive, protecting them from critters like deer, rabbits, groundhogs, squirrels, and chipmunks. How? Bobex steers grazers away using both the odor and taste of meat meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients. There's plenty of information about Bobex products and how to use them at Bobex.com. All Bobex products are environmentally safe. You're not going to find them in the big box stores, only at your local independent garden center. You can find Bobex products at Siegel's Cottonwood Farm in Lockport, Illinois, Shades of Green Nursery in Chicago, Illinois, Fields Nursery in Crest Hill, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex. And while I'm on the subject, a shout out to my horticultural buddy, Kate Copsey, who's got her own gardening program. Now, she's in Toledo. She says it's still raining in Toledo. But, you know, Kate... it rains in Toledo 365 days a year. I don't know if you realize that. It's just being in Toledo. But she sent me some information that we will talk to Greg Exidy from Bobex about later on, because I had a request several weeks ago about a vegan product for those vegans out there. We'll talk about later in the second hour about can you find a vegan deer and rabbit repellent. It's tough. I'll tell you that right now, and we'll chat about that a little later on.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
I'm happy to tell you about Pearl Valley Eggs, an Illinois family-owned farm that does it right. Dave Thompson The founder of Pearl Valley Eggs got into the egg business years ago almost by accident. He was a school teacher, and he wanted to show his students where chickens and our food comes from. The answer to that, it's not the Jewel or the Dominick's. The rest is history. I have visited the Pearl Valley Egg Farm, and I was fascinated to learn how they aerobically compost chicken manure and straw to create the organic, healthy grow fertilizer, which, by the way, is OMRI listed. Pearl Valley Eggs and Healthy Grow Fertilizer is sustainability in action. And I should mention, tomorrow I'm going over to Mike Sanders' house to take a look at his lawn. We're doing a little experiment. We're going to take some Healthy Grow with us. I know you're laughing, Mark. You think that's funny because I don't know why you think it's funny.
I think you're going over to his house to look at his lawn. That's just a strange thing to be doing.
That's what I do.
I guess
it's,
so.
You know, it's
go over.
Not necessarily always at Mike's place, but
but walk around the neighborhood and just knock on doors and say, your lawn looks awful.
No, here's what happened. He told me about his lawn, and he told me he had hired one of those evil chemical companies to come in. And I said, don't do that. I'm going to help you take care of this. So I said, I got this great new sponsor, Pearl Valley Organics. They got this great product for your lawn called Healthy Grow. I'm going to get Logic Lawn Care is a company, and Steve Newman is coming over with me tomorrow. We're going to look at Mike's lawn. We're going to evaluate it. We're going to do some treatment on it. We're going to put some Healthy Grow in it, and we're going to see what happens. And take some pictures, and, you know, I'm betting it's going to look a lot better than it does now. Anyway, Pearl Valley Eggs and Healthy Grow Fertilizer is sustainability in action. The chickens are raised on site, produce superior quality eggs, and then help create an organic fertilizer. Healthy Grow lawn and garden food is available at garden centers throughout the Chicago area. And please insist on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop. Food is essential to life. If you want a quality life, you need quality food for you and your garden. Learn more about it at Healthy Grow, and that's spelled G-R-O, healthygrow.com. HealthyGrow.com. And, of course, they are great sponsors of the Sustainable Food Fundamentals, which will be in the second hour on this very radio program. So Heather is snorting coffee through her nose because of a tweet by our friend, intrepid Green reporter Leah Petrusiak. What did she write?
It says, only Mike Novak finds a way to go from talking about deer to gangbangers. You are silver-tongued. You can
I'm highly distractible.
That's right. Highly distractible.
That's what that's what they say in
Garden Design Magazine.
Garden Design Magazine.
They did nail it, didn't they?
I guess they did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hold on now. Before we go to Mr. Brown Thumb, I need to have something ready here because there we go. We're going to put that up there. All right. Now, I'm preparing here. Let's go to line. Everybody's on line one on this show, which Rick DeMaio has busted me on. And so let's go to line seven. How did you get on line seven, Mr. Brown Thumb?
Heather put me here.
Oh. She put you to the back of the phone.
It's a lucky number.
You know, you put him in the back of the phone bus.
It's a lucky number.
Okay, lucky number seven. Mr. Brown Thumb, the inimitable Mr. Brown Thumb, who is everywhere in the gardening universe. If you don't know who Mr. Brown Thumb is, well, Mr. Brown Thumb, you haven't been doing enough self-promotion. He writes for the blog site on the Trib, and he does his own blog site, and he tweets, and he... He's kind of you're kind of the spokesperson for One Seed Chicago too, aren't you?
Well, I do the marketing and promotion for One Seed Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And you also do marketing, kind of marketing for Renee's seeds too.
From time to time, it's like on a freelance basis.
Mm-hmm.
I may work on some projects for her.
I want to talk about your business model someday, Mr. Brown Thumb.
Sure.
Because I'm sure you're making a lot more money than I am.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't want to talk.
It's very interesting. It's very interesting in a way, I mean, if you want to figure out how to eat on like $3 a day.
Oh, well, I'm not interested in that, actually, to tell you the truth. All right, well, we won't talk about your business model, but what we will talk about is One Seed Chicago and the big contest, vote for your favorite seed, whether it is radish or eggplant or Swiss chard. You guys started at the beginning of the year. Voting ended April 1st, and yesterday, I understand, you announced the winner at the Green and Growing Fair at Garfield Park Conservatory. And, okay, now, Heather and Mark, we need a drum roll here, all right, for the winner. Here we go, drum roll. Mr. Brown Thumb, and the winner is...
Swiss chard.
Swiss chard! Okay.
What was that?
Are you a little excited about the winner there, Mr. Novak?
Swiss chard!
Not as much as Mike is. I mean, I was pushing for radish, and Mike was the one who was pushing for Swiss chard, and...
And, you know, my influence, you know, I know you're kind of an influential guy, Mr. BT, but maybe not so much as Mike Novak on the radio.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people who were, yesterday, technically, we held off making an official announcement at the conservatory during the Green and Growing Fair to give you the chance to do it on your radio show.
Did you really?
Yes, we handed out seeds, but we didn't make, like, a big to-do. We decided to, since you were such a big supporter of the project this year, and since it's kind of the reason that Swiss Chard won is because of you, and you're pushing for it, so we decided to do it here today.
Aw, that is so sweet. You know, but it got out. I mean, there's, you know, WikiLeaks. It was on WikiLeaks yesterday.
WikiLeaks.
I don't know. Assange put it up there, and I think he's a huge... Well, because he's hiding out in Switzerland, I think.
So he's pro-Swiss chard?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, no French chard or no American chard, just, no Somali chard.
So I'll be
Swiss.
Posting Julian Assange's recipes for Swiss chard on my website. You know, I am so proud to have stolen yet another election, another horticultural election. Several years ago when the Trib did theirs on the Chicago's... what's the matter, Heather?
Twitter. I, for one, welcome our new Team Chard overlords.
And we are. We are now your overlords. You will be having...
It's a vegetable.
Well, I've already got plans for a Swiss chard cereal that I want to create. You know, you make them crispy. And
don't try it out on my kid.
But I stole the Trib election several years ago for the unofficial, official Chicago flower. Of course, I had a bigger bully pulpit then. It was 50,000 watts. But this one works pretty well, too. And now I've stolen this election. I don't know where to go from here. You know, I've stolen more elections than Karl Rove at this point.
George Soros.
I don't think George has managed to steal any, all right? That's the problem.
Well, speaking of elections, you know what's kind of funny about this year?
Yeah.
With this year's election, every year there's three different plants. And the votes are usually a lot closer. But, I mean, since you had this bully pulpit and you and other people on Twitter, like your cohort, Moody Wood Garden.
Uh-huh.
Who posted the the joking residency requirement for against eggplant?
Yes.
So there were people who were knocking the other two candidates, and it was kind of funny because it's the result of the one seat election kind of followed the results of the mayoral election.
How so?
Swiss chard was Rahm Emanuel in terms of votes.
Uh huh.
He got the most votes. And then eggplant was sort of like the Gary Chico. And then radish, which is the one that I was pushing for, was definitely Luis Gutierrez. They didn't get anywhere near as many votes.
No, De Valle.
De Valle, sorry.
Right, yeah. Wow. Well, hey, listen, hold on just a second, Mr. Brown Thumb. I want to do a direct message to Rahm Emanuel. Rahm, hello, buddy. Pull up to the radio. If you're listening, you need me on your team, okay, pal? You need me at City Hall. So I hope you're listening. I pulled this election out. Just imagine what I can do for the city, okay? All right, I just thought I'd get that out there. Mr. Brotham, you sent me some wonderful stuff. Some of the quotes about in the balloting, and this is why they voted for their favorites. Here's one. I like the variety of ways I can cook it. Now, it doesn't say what they were, what they voted for. It was
Swiss chard.
Oh, these are all Swiss chard.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
These are all Swiss chard comments. All right. I like the variety of ways I can cook it. Here's another one. Has deep beauty, freezes well, tastes delicious, provides long season production, and is a very healthy food. Here's another one. Not only tastes great, it also looks great in my garden and is very nutritious and easy to cook. I would love to grow it in my container and the community garden I'm involved in. Here's another quote. Mike Novak told me on the radio. Here's another quote. I love eggplant in a variety of dishes, but never thought of growing them in my garden, so now I will. Who is that person? I want that person banned. Get them out of the city. Here's another quote. Really, though, I'd be happy with the Swiss chard. I'll throw that in for Mike Novak. Or the radishes. Anyone would be a treat. Thank you. Here's another quote. Mike Novak said so. This is great. I'm enjoying this power.
Do you hear that little bell in your head every time you hear your own name?
Yes, I do.
I thought so.
Yeah. And finally, it says, it was a tough choice, but I chose chard for its grace in both appearance and flavor. And then finally, Swiss chard is avant-garde.
Ooh, that one I like.
Yes.
But I have to admit, I was team radish myself. I wanted radish to win.
Oh, that's loser.
I'm sad. I'm sad.
Since a couple of those were obviously listeners of your show, I want to let you in on something. We put up, this year we weren't sure if we were going to give out more seeds online. I mean, everybody who voted is going to get the seed packet in the mail soon.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't sure if we were going to mail out more, let people request them online. But since so many of your listeners voted and participated, we opened up the ballot again. And people can go and request, go to oneseedchicago.com and request the seed packet, and we'll send it to them in the mail.
For Swiss chard only or for their favorite?
For the Swiss chard.
Ah.
They can get the winner in the mail. Because voting closed, and so everybody who voted was going to get a seed packet. But we're opening up the website again so that your listeners can log on and request a seed packet if they didn't get to participate in the voting.
That is excellent. That's such a great idea. I'm glad you did that. And if you want to go to One Seed Chicago, it is www.oneseed, spelled out O-N-E-S-E-E-D, chicago.com. You can also go to my website, mikenovak.net. I've got the link there. To it. And I'm glad that you're going to be sending these out to everybody. This is, and there's the grace period now for folks who want to Swiss chard seeds. And I guess my next job is to tell people how to grow them. So, I guess I have to start getting all that information out as well, since I did push Swiss chard here. So what's next, Mr. Brown Thumb?
A minute ago, you gave a personal message to Ron Emanuel. If you want to get even closer to him, you can join us for his inauguration in Butler Field. We'll be handing out seeds.
Oh, you're going to be at the inauguration? Will he even let you near the inauguration? I hear it's pretty pricey.
Well, me personally, probably not. I couldn't afford it. Remember, $3 a
day?
But, I mean, the organization, One Seed Chicago and Neighborspace, will be there to hand out seeds to people who are at the inauguration. And did you see that his day of service includes a lot of community gardening? And a lot of those gardens are Neighborspace gardens.
Wonderful. Now, when you say day of service, explain, please.
I forget the name of the website that I saw this on, but there was a website that they set up that encourage people to volunteer for different events across the city,
mm-hmm.
Like around the time of the inauguration. And about three of those events are gardening related, and it was like the bee farm, a couple of others where they were asking for volunteers to go and help with things like cleanups or plantings and things like that. So, I mean, he's listening to the gardening community because there were events set up for gardeners or to help gardens. or community gardens. So
I'll tell you what, I don't have that right now, but let's see if we can track that down, and if anybody happens to have that website,
I'll post it to your Twitter.
Oh, if you've got it, yeah, post it to Twitter here, and then I can let folks know where they should go to get more information. And I think that's good. That's commendable. I'm glad that the mayor is on board with the community garden, and we'll see. You know, the problem is, and we've talked about it on the show, and I need to do it at length, that the zoning committee of the city council is making changes to the zoning ordinance, and the people in the agricultural community are hoping that it will encourage community gardening and the various aspects surrounding that. The problem is zoning codes tend to be vague, and some people are saying this is going to be a good thing, some people are saying it's going to be a bad thing, and it's still in discussion. And I guess if we get a new city council, I don't know if we go back to square one, but it's all very interesting stuff. I don't know if you've been involved in that. Have you, Mr. Brown Thumb?
No, I mean, I've been reading it like most other people who are interested in gardening or community gardening in Chicago, but I've not been involved in any of the process of it.
Put that link up there from Mr. Emanuel's site, and we will pass that along. And thank you so much for being on the program again. And you're welcome anytime, and keep me posted with new programs that you're working on. And you know, I'm so sorry you supported Radish. It was just not. It was not. If the Radish, the Del Valle of the one seat Chicago vote. Heather, you're shaking your head.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking they can't see the look I'm giving you, which is probably a good thing.
That is a good thing. All right. Mr. BT, always a pleasure having you on the program. You take care, buddy.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. It's spring planting time, and this week's special at SIDS is seed geraniums, an annual favorite that's sure to give bright color all summer long. Through May 7th, save big on seed geraniums in a 3.5-inch pot. Three for just $5. Also this week, you can get $5 off SID's entire stock of spring baskets. I know that Heather happens to like spring baskets. Visit SIDsOnline.com. You have to download a coupon. You can get it at SIDsOnline.com. SID's also has three varieties of Japanese maples, just $39 for the number two pot size, and a 36-inch emerald green arborvitae are $5 for $90. That's a great price. Remember, too, that Mother's Day is next Sunday. Gee, that has a way of sneaking up on you, doesn't it? Why not honor Mom with a fresh floral arrangement from SID's full-service floral shops? Check out their selection online and order today. SID's, Chicagoland's premier garden center's nursery and florist, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway, in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. And remember, the early bird gets the deal every Saturday now through June 18th at SID's. Just arrive between 7 a.m. and 8:45 a.m. and save $10 off your purchase of $30 or more with the coupon you'll get from SID's Early Bird Greeter.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs. Vegetable gardens, too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. PlantSkid.
Strike gardening gold with Dr. Earth's Pot of Gold potting soil. This all-purpose potting soil is packed with organic materials such as earthworm castings and moisturizing aloe and yucca extracts. The Pot of Gold blend is great for use in all container sizes. It improves soil drainage in clay soil, and when used as mulch, it helps retain moisture and control weeds. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. 35 million satisfied customers can't be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack, but that was all.
We're on the Mike Novak Show here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Yes, I am the winner, the stealer, actually. The stealer of the one-seat Chicago contest. Let's bring in Rick DeMaio, who I know is a huge fan of Swiss chard. Right, Rick?
Of Swiss char?
Swiss chard, you know, as in vegetable, there's a
Yeah. I know what that is. I thought it was a new kind of charred kind of something.
No. Swiss chard.
Oh, I know what that is. Yeah, I'm only joking there.
Oh, sure you are. hey, listen.
What did we talk about, right?
Oh, my goodness. It was...
Very sobering, very humbling day for anybody in meteorological community, especially if you remember what you said to me last weekend, Mike, was, boy, the science of meteorology has really gone light years in advancing the ability for people to remain safe during tornadoes, right?
I'm sorry I said it.
I know. All of a sudden, I think we all feel like we just stepped back about 50 years in time when you see the destruction here. You know, what is the death toll up to? Over 350, I think, by now.
But you know, from what I understand, this is maybe the second worst outbreak in our nation's history.
Oh, yeah, since the tri-state tornado in 1925, March the 18th, it went from southeast Missouri, southern Illinois, southwest Kentucky.
Yeah, but that was one tornado, right? Or was that an outbreak of tornado?
You know what? There's still a lot of disagreement on whether it was one single tornado. However, when you look at this particular tornado, the one that went through, one of many, obviously, that went through Tuscaloosa, the west side of Birmingham, this may have been on the ground for almost 180 miles. And then you look at the Yazoo City tornado in Mississippi just last year, April 24th, 2010. It was on the ground for about 175 miles. So what's another 40 miles when you think about it, right, in 1925? So
yeah.
I guess it could have been. But still, I think when you look at how destructive that tornado was in 1925, it literally obliterated four different cities, including the town of Murfreesboro, which to this day, the 234 fatalities in Murfreesboro is the largest number of fatalities for any U.S. city anywhere, and it happened in the state of Illinois. So the thinking is that for a tornado to be able to do that kind of destruction for a period of 2 hours, it probably metamorphosized into two or three other different tornadoes along its path. Nonetheless, I mean, not to minimize what happened, this event that occurred, you know, last Wednesday, actually was almost a period of 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday,
yeah,
clearly raises a red flag on how do we protect people during these kind of situations.
Absolutely. And you sent me a graph yesterday, a chart of a diagram, drawing of some kind that shows Tornado Alley.
Right.
Which is basically Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, up through there. And
right.
Then it showed where the most fatalities have occurred in the U.S., and it's decidedly east of Tornado Alley, where there are fewer tornadoes. And I was confused by this, and I asked you, why are there more fatalities east of Tornado Alley? And your response?
Well, a couple of different reasons. And first, let me make sure that the person who put this information together was Dr. Walker Ashley, a meteorology professor at NIU, where they do a lot of work not only with geography but meteorology and the science of geographic information systems, otherwise known as GIS. And he really wanted to know why it seemed like there's more fatalities in parts of northwest Alabama, northeast Mississippi, southwestern areas of Tennessee. And when they did studies on when tornadoes are most likely to occur, they're typically late afternoon, early evening, especially your evening tornadoes, very difficult to see. Those areas generally tend to be more forested. In other words, hard to see a large tornado from far away if you're surrounded by dense forest, which is what that part of the country is. And from a socioeconomic standpoint, unfortunately, a lot of those people in those communities, either lower income, lower educated, may not have, you know, direct access to cable TV in some areas. A lot of them not necessarily live in mobile homes, but these large tract, lower income houses. And even when I saw some of the aerial views of where some of the storms were, you basically had these housing complexes with 60 units, probably housing, when you think about it, well over 250 people, and they no basements. They're probably flimsy construction. You know, you need something like that to live in if it's going to be, you know, costing you less than $500 a month. Drywall, you know, probably a cheap roof, no basement. And maybe the people just didn't know what was coming their way, which was really, really surprising, considering the fact that the area was under a high-risk outlook from the storm predictions of the day before. Watches were issued 3 hours in advance. The warnings were issued literally 15 minutes in advance. And then for the city of Birmingham, a tornado emergency was issued, which is, I think, the third time that's ever been done since 1999. So everything was there for these people to know about it. But I guess the thing is, if you're in one of these, you know, kind of like rural, suburban, you know, lower income housing tract complexes that are, you know, maybe basically like dug out from the middle of a forest, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 miles away from your main downtown area, the only really way to get in and out is by car. And when you look at maybe something like that coming towards your area, you go, you know, where do you go? What do you do? So it's almost like you become a prisoner in your own home at that time, right?
Yeah, although, you know, the point you're making, I guess, is it's kind of a social justice issue.
And
to some degree that if you're poor and you have bad construction, you're going to suffer more. But I would say the other side is it looks to me as though the intensity of the storms and the number, the sheer number. I was watching that day. I flipped over to the Weather Channel, and I just could not believe all the cells that were out there and how they were approaching, and just one after training, one after another. And you'd think, oh, my goodness, how does anybody prepare for that, you know?
Exactly, yeah. It's almost like you're the first one coming out of those amphibian crafts on Normandy Beach. And you go, do I go left, do I go right, do I go straight, do I put my head down?
Yeah.
I mean, there's fire coming from all directions. I mean, from a dynamic standpoint, and I think when I spoke to you earlier this week, Dina, I mentioned sociological, geographical, and meteorological all coming together at the same time to produce cataclysmic conditions. The same thing literally occurred with Katrina when you had people living in a low-lying area, not with any means of getting out or evacuating or wanting to, and then you have this massive hurricane with the potential to produce flooding, you're going to have catastrophic, you know, conditions result. Now, granted, we had, you know, I think well over, 3,400 people die with Katrina. Here you had, you know, one-tenth of it. But still, I always say when you look at the devastation with tornadoes, it happens so fast, and you basically have no time for cover once that storm is upon you. And I was looking at these as well, and I'm looking at this and going, okay, there's one, two, three, four, five different supercells. Not only do people have to respond to the warnings, but you know, the National Weather Service has to issue these warnings, and they're going, you know, absolutely, you know, running at basically full tilt, trying to make sure that every warning that they get out has the information that's necessary for the people to understand it and take cover. And even when you're looking at cable television, you know, you're looking at CNN and the Weather Channel, they're actually showing these large F4, F5, you know, mile and a half wide tornadoes literally pushing through the west side of Tuscaloosa. Actually, it went right through downtown Tuscaloosa. And then the west side of Birmingham, your eyes just pop out of your head. You go, oh, my God, how is anybody surviving in
that? Yeah, that was sort of my impression. All right, listen, I got a break here. And when we come back, we're going to get a forecast. I actually have a question about somebody wants to plant a tomato and whether we'll get any more frost. Well, you and I both know the answer to that one, Rick. and Rick,
they want to know how to protect their tomatoes. They're tomatoes from a tornado.
Maybe that's it. Okay. Rick DeMaio weather will continue in a second. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. We're getting into the season when emerald ash borers are active, so here are some things you need to know. First, EAB attacks only ash trees. This is an important part of that. It's only ash trees. Now, we've got, you know, 100 million or so ash trees in the state of Illinois alone. Adult beetles are metallic green and about 1/2 inch long. Adults leave a D-shaped exit hole in the bark when they emerge in the spring. And I've seen them. I have pictures of them. I show sometimes at talks I do. You can't miss it. It really does look like a D. So if you've got that, you've got emerald ash borer. Woodpeckers like EAB larvae. Heavy woodpecker damage on ash trees may be a sign of infestation. Do not transport firewood, especially across state lines in the Midwest. Just don't transport firewood anymore. It's just such a bad idea. You might be helping to spread EAB. Finally, if you suspect insect activity, contact your local extension agent or the Care of Trees, which has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. As a matter of fact, next week, I'm going to be talking on this very program about emerald ash borer with guys from the Care of Trees. I hope you will stop by. Sean Kingzett and Jim Swack from the Care of Trees will be here, and we will devote part of our discussion to emerald ash borer. So if you're concerned about it, save your questions for next week, and they will help you answer them. When you want to make sure that your ash trees have the best possible chance against emerald ash borer, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. All right. Let's try this one.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? PlantSkid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, PlantSkid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, PlantSkid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. PlantSkid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. PlantSkid.
And we're back with Rick DeMaio, who's going to give us Mikey, just hold on a second, Rick. Mikey, this thing's frozen. This computer just froze up on me, baby.
You have mutiny on your hands, sir.
Yeah, I mean, this
technology.
I got a feeling this computer likes radish.
Ha 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 ha! See maybe, how your one seed karma cometh.
Yeah, maybe eggplant. See? Yeah, we're just going to reboot this baby.
I'm going to take my screwdriver to it. Hold on here.
Okay.
I sometimes want to use the hammer technique.
Back to you, Mr. DeMaio. And the question is: will we get frost before the end of the month? And my answer would be: the average last frost day in our part of the country is May 15th.
Right.
But it can go later than that, and my feeling is unless you have a way to protect your tomatoes, don't put them in the ground yet.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that, Mike. And I think this spring is I think very temperamental from a standpoint of, I still think we're going to see a couple of more cool downs. In fact, by Tuesday night into Wednesday, we have another large area low pressure system begin to develop south of us. On the backside, we'll probably cool off well into the lower 40s during overnight hours, and quite possibly in the mid to upper 30s, maybe by maybe Wednesday morning. So the current pattern is not one to be aggressive in planting outdoors. So the bottom line is, I still think wait a couple more weeks for something like that. I just don't like the way the overall long wave pattern is setting up for us to go into a mild one. It's just, this one is totally different from the mild April and May that we had of 2010, Mike.
Yeah, so unless you've got a shelter for your plants, you know, you've got a hoop house or some kind of protection that's going to keep them warm, no, because if you, what happens with tomatoes, if they get set back, it's really hard for them to recover.
Right.
And I know they're on sale. You can go to the nurseries and you see them there, but they're assuming you're smart enough to know what to do with them, either to take them indoor. Well, they also want to sell product, which is important because the horticultural industry has been hit pretty hard in the last couple of years. So,
And I would think, with all these areas, losing their trees, there's probably going to be a run up on, maybe needing some planting of trees and shrubs. Because, not only Alabama, but, you're talking Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and parts of Tennessee, let's not forget North Carolina from a couple of weeks ago. It's been an incredibly, incredibly active spring season and, very deadly, obviously, as well, Mike.
So give me very quickly our forecast for the week.
Looks pretty good today. We have a lot of sunshine now. Maybe some clouds filtering late tonight. Could see maybe an hour or two of some rain, but readings pretty much in the mid-50s, not the low 70s that we had yesterday. Looks like a dry day tomorrow. Again, another day where we have this mixture of sun and some high thick clouds, mid to upper 50s, and then probably close to 60, probably not until maybe Friday, after we get through a couple of cool days. For Tuesday and Wednesday, I think both Tuesday and Wednesday, mainly cloudy skies, and readings probably only in the lower 50s. So the weather that we have today, enjoy it, because we may not see it again around here, at least the mild stuff, until maybe next Friday night.
Always the bearer of good tidings, Rick DeMaio.
Yeah, not the best.
Yeah. All right. You can go to DeMaioWeather.com and see all the charts and graphs, some of the stuff he shows me all the time and sends my way. Of course, you can link to that at DeMaioWeather.com or just go to my website, MikeNovak.net. It's on the homepage. Rick, we will talk next week.
Okay, Mike, and a quick shout-out to Rebecca Cook, my better half. We celebrate 2 years tomorrow.
Oh. Yay. Wait.
Today.
He already.
Today.
It's too late. It's on tape, Rick.
But it's been anniversary week.
It is. So
it was my birthday yesterday, so I got those days mixed up. That's all right.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, take it. Your gift is in the mail, pal.
I already got it.
Oh, okay. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Are burrowing creatures turning your lawn into a giant piece of Swiss cheese? Not Swiss chard, Swiss cheese. Then Bonide has a solution. Bonide Momax is an effective repellent to use against moles, voles, rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks, and other burrowing animals. The environmentally friendly Momax formulation makes it safe to apply in areas where children and pets play. Just put it on 3 to 4 times a year to send nuisance animal pests away. Momax is available in 10-pound bags that cover 5,000 square feet or in a convenient 5-pound shaker applicator. Molemax is also available in a quart-sized ready-to-spray liquid with built-in hose-end sprayer. Molemax can be found at Platte Hill Nursery in Carpentersville, Illinois, Platte Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale, Illinois, Schwartz Nursery in Addison, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it to your computer. The app features a search engine where you can type in the name of a pest or weed and find a solution, and you can get it at Bonide.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a pusher electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
Spring seminars continue at Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines next Saturday, 9 a.m. Pesci's presents Solving Backyard Landscape Challenges, and at 11 a.m. Creating a Butterfly Habitat with American Beauty's Native Plants. May 14th at 9 a.m., it's Pesci's Garden Manager, Dr. Wally himself, teaching you about his organic techniques. And believe me, the guy knows a lot. He'll be doing a Q&A afterwards. At 11 a.m. on May 14th, Dr. Earth's Lisa Grant will be discussing the benefits of Dr. Earth products. And Dr. Earth is Pesci's best-selling organic fertilizer, pet-friendly, and people-safe. Stop in on either day for a great double day of garden talk. And you need to pick up some veggies, seeds and starting supplies, wildlife and animal products. All their veggies are free of sprays and fertilizers. Pesci's Garden Center, just minutes off I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com. P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Bees, next on the Mike Novak Show.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Second hour of the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're going to start. So, Mark, this is the number. Is it five? It's what, 50 million? Oh, that's the number. Wow. That's a lot of bees. Okay. And you need to know what we're talking about. And we'll start by bringing in Taggart Siegel, who is the director of the film Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us? And it's running at the Music Box Theater right now in Chicago. So if you're interested in that, head on over to the Music Box. And Taggart, welcome, and thank you for coming into the studio.
Thank you very much, Mike.
It's a regular showing. You got like three showings a day or something?
Yes, at the Music Box. It's fantastic.
And the Music Box, you're not a Chicagoan, I take
yes,
it.
Yes, I lived here 12 years in the 80s till 94.
Well, then you know what the Music Box Theater is.
I lived right around the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
It's one of my favorite places in the city. I love that theater.
It's a gem.
Yeah.
So you're very...
Last night, Farmer John was there and introduced the film From the Real Dirt on Farmer John, and we had a really big crowd. It was fantastic.
That's fabulous. Yeah, and you opened on Friday, right?
Yes.
So you showed last night, then again today, and then through Thursday. And on Tuesday, well, you're going to be out of town, unfortunately, but on Tuesday, I'm going to be introducing the film, which I'm very happy to do. I have been following colony collapse disorder, and I don't exactly know why. And I know that a lot of folks in the entomologists and so forth and people in the business don't like to call it that, and they have a negative reaction. I'm not exactly sure why. But I guess it's the same thing as when you talk to people about food deserts in the city. A lot of people get negative reactions like, don't call it a food desert. I live there, you know, and people who work in the business don't call it colony collapse disorder. I'm not exactly sure why they feel that way. Any insight into that?
Well, I think it's actually a very good name because it is happening. It's kind of like the sledgehammer has finally hit us. Like we've had a lot of wake-up calls with bees over time. In fact, in the 90s, when varroa mite came in, there was hush of the hives in the New York Times. And even in the 60s, when Carson's book, Silent Spring, mm-hmm. all about the pesticides.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't wake up then, and now we have colony collapse disorder, and it's a phenomenon where the bees disappear from the hive, and the queen is still there, the honey is there, but the bees don't return. That is major.
Yeah. And there's been speculation as to why this is happening. Scientists are feverishly trying to figure it out. You mentioned some of the mites that have attacked. There's varroa and tracheal mites. There are fungi that attack bees. There are viruses. There's low-level pesticide use. There's stress from transportation. It goes on and on and on. Mm. And a number of people think it's a cumulative effect, that all these things together have finally come home to roost in terms of the bees. Everybody wants a silver bullet. They want the magic bullet that, oh, this is what's doing it, and if we fix this. Well, but if you're putting all this stress on bees, and I note in the film you interview, by the way, it's a beautiful film.
Thank you.
Did you do the cinematography yourself?
I did, and I was great when Roger Ebert actually called it the most beautiful nature film he's ever seen. I couldn't believe that.
The colors alone are stunning. You cannot believe the photography, the flowers in there. But I was going to say that you interviewed Dr. May Barenbaum.
Yes, I did.
I've talked to her before. I've interviewed her before. In fact, I want to get her back on the show.
Yeah.
She talks about all of this, and part of it is the genetic structure of the bee, which is not set up to handle things like pesticides. There's nothing in its evolutionary development that prepared it for what we've thrown at it in the last 30 years. And there's a group of insecticides called neonicotinoids. And before that, organophosphates, which we've begun to phase out because we realized how toxic they were and how awful they were. And now we went to something else. Let's go to something, let's go to the neonicotinoids. As she said to me, bees aren't set up to deal with that kind of stuff. There's nothing that they've encountered like that before.
Well, they actually have only 45 genomes, which is a lot less than a lot of other insects that have like 150 genomes. So they're set up, they're not prepared to deal with toxins. What does a bee do? It goes to a flower, the love source of that flower, the nectar, and they bring it back to the hive. They put it in the stomach, the nectar, and they create this miraculous thing called honey. And they've been doing that for 100 million years or so. It's a beautiful relationship. There's no toxins that they really have to deal with. So they're not prepared when they're thrown toxins every day, and it's weakened them greatly.
That is Taggart Siegel, who is the director of the film Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us, running at the Music Box. We have tickets to give away. We have five pairs of tickets that we're going to make you answer questions. As you know on this show, because I am your overlord, I am your Swiss chard overlord. I don't know if you were listening on your way in, but it's a long story. I'm going to make you work to get these tickets. The first question is going to be, how many bees do we estimate have been lost to colony collapse disorder in the last, we're thinking about last 5 or 6 years.
And you have to, it's a broad number. It's not an exact number.
I was going to say to the nearest billion. Now that tells you something, right? Mark Munger did the math on this on a piece of newspaper. Here, I've got this little piece of newspaper in front of me. To the nearest billion, how many bees do we estimate? And this is a conservative end, right, Taggart?
I believe so.
Yeah. Have we lost? And we should tell you that there are, 30 to 50,000 bees per hive?
Yes.
And I won't tell you how many hives or colonies we've lost in the past few years. You find that out in the film. Call us at 773-838-9278. 838-9278, area code 773. And we'll start giving away some of these tickets, and then we'll ask some easier questions. This will be the hard one, but I'm trying to make a point here about this severe loss of honeybees in not just America, but the world. Is Australia still immune from this?
Right. They don't have colony collapse disorder, nor does New Zealand. But they do have varroa mite in New Zealand, which is pretty devastating.
Well, and we brought bees in from those countries to help with our bees when we were losing them. But and what the point you make in the film is that we might have brought varroa mites with them and created even more difficulties.
Actually, not varroa mite, but the Israel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The virus.
Right.
Yeah. Israel acute paralysis.
Right.
Which, because there was a shortage of honeybees with all the almonds that needed to be pollinated, there was a shortage of bees, so we shipped them in on 747s to America, mm-hmm. and they brought their viruses, which intermingle with all our bees, because 3/4 of all bees in America are trucked across the country to pollinate almond trees and blueberries and fruit trees. It's amazing.
Some of the scariest stuff in the film comes early on, in my opinion, when you show the monocultures in California, the almond trees, miles and miles and miles of pink as they're in bloom, which is when the honeybees come and pollinate. And honeybees from all over the country are loaded onto crates or into crates and on pallets, wood pallets, and put on trucks and then plastic wrapped. They plastic wrap them and then they take them to California. No, it's unbelievable what
we do. And then what do they feed them?
We feed them one thing for about how long? However long it takes for them to pollinate the almonds, that's all they're eating.
No, they are eating. They give them corn syrup.
Oh, no, I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
They're feeding them corn syrup to supplement them food. And as Michael Pollan says in the film, nothing more viscerally offensive than feeding the creators of honey corn syrup.
Right. High fructose corn syrup.
Yes. Which is genetically modified.
Which is genetically modified. So this is what we feed the bees. And then the only thing they pollinate are these almonds for weeks and weeks and weeks.
2 weeks only.
Is that all it is?
Yes. 50 weeks of the year, there's no food in those almond fields that go on at the size of Rhode Island. It's 740,000 acres of one tree. Nothing else grows there.
And, you know, when the almonds aren't in bloom, there's nothing for the bees.
Nothing.
There was nothing that would sustain them. There's nothing they could do. So they put them back on the trucks, and then they ship them back to wherever they came from. Now, one of the things that May Barenbaum told me, Dr. Barenbaum, was, you know, bees are highly sensitive creatures. And this is one of the things that affects them. This makes them nervous. You don't want a nervous bee. And the other thing she said, which is kind of interesting, is what about the bees that remain? She said, imagine if you lived in Chicago and you woke up one morning and half of Chicago was gone. How would you'd be a little nervous too, wouldn't you? Well, so are the bees. Yeah. Because they're highly social creatures.
They cannot live outside their own hive more than 24 hours or they will die. You could give it plenty of food and warmth and everything, but the bees will still die if they are not with their hive. They're a superorganism, which means those 30,000 bees in one hive, those individuals are actually one being. It's called a superorganism.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a couple of guesses here. The question is, what do we estimate? How many bees do we estimate have been lost due to colony collapse disorder worldwide in the last few years? And I said to the closest billion. All right, and we're going to start with Lori from Chicago. Hi, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi.
Hi, what's your guess, Lori?
You know, my original guess was 10 billion, but I think I'm going to change that to 8 billion.
You went in the wrong direction, Lori.
I did.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, I should have gone higher, huh?
You should have. You could call back if you want. I don't care. All right. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Thank you.
838-9278. 773-838-9278. Let us go to Amy from Valparaiso. Amy, what are you going to guess?
Hi. I'm going to guess 30 billion.
You're low, Amy.
Oh, my
my God, I'm low?
You're low. All right.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
I know. Like I said, I'm making a point here. Thanks for calling. 773-838-9278. How many bees have we lost due to colony collapse disorder? Give us a call. Yes?
Heather? We have a tweet.
Oh, a tweet. Let's try a tweet here.
15 billion guests.
Well, if 30 billion is...
is low, 15 billion is low,
too. Very low.
Sorry, honey.
Thanks for trying.
And just to, another point here. In Chicago itself, you've lost 80% of your bees over this winter. It's been a really devastating winter. And is that weather? I'm not sure. I don't
think
it's
colony collapse. That's a very good question. That's a very good question because when I wrote the article several years ago, Illinois had not been affected particularly by colony collapse disorder. Has that changed?
This isn't necessarily colony collapse disorder.
This is
the weird weather you guys have had.
But it's honeybees and it's honeybee colonies?
Yeah, there's 8,000 hives, beehives in the city of Chicago. I can't believe registered beekeepers. And the beekeepers I was talking to last night said that 80% have lost their hives.
Really? Now I got to... I got to get on that story too because, and it might very well be. It was a tough winter. I wouldn't say unusually brutal, but interesting statistic.
But I like how Mayor Daley came out and thanked all the beekeepers.
Yes, and apparently Mr. Emanuel is interested in keeping the bee active. In your movie, you talk about how beekeeping is prohibited in New York City, and that's a shame.
And now it's legal.
Did they make it legal after this?
Yes, it's now legal, so it's fantastic.
All right, that is Taggart Siegel, the director of Queen of the Sun. What are the bees telling us? Hang on, he's back. We're going to take some more guesses. I can tell you, Tamani, we've already just guessed 30 billion, so there's no point you trying that. So you think of another number, all right? He's on hold there. I got to take care of some business. As we get close to the really warm weather, don't worry, it'll happen in Chicago around August 17th. I know that a lot of you feel like Secretariat waiting to get out of the gate. Well, if you saw the movie, you know that he was pretty terrible getting out of the gate. Anyway, I digress. The May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is out. This is the most jam-packed issue of the year, and among the great stories is one that teaches you how to make the most of your rooftop garden. Is there anybody out there who doesn't like peonies? You and Schomburg, put your hand out and read the article about the best peony varieties and how to grow them. Then there's my column on the inside back page. Hey, you and Schomburg, put your hand down. I didn't even ask a question. Oh, well, you can read my column, too. You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription, 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com. Now, it's spring planting time, and this week's special at SIDS is seed geraniums, an annual favorite that's sure to give bright color all summer long. Through May 7th, save big on seed geraniums in a 3.5-inch pot, 3 for just $5. Also this week, you can get $5 off SIDS' entire stock of spring baskets. Visit SIDSonline.com to download the coupon. SIDS also has 3 varieties of Japanese maples, just $39 for the 2-pot size. Actually, that's the number 2 pot size. And 36-inch emerald green arborvitae are 5 for $90. Remember that Mother's Day is next Sunday. Why not honor Mom with a fresh floral arrangement from SIDS full-service floral shops? Check out their selection online and order today. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, nursery, and florist, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway, in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road and Hassert Boulevard. And remember, the early bird gets the deal every Saturday now through June 18th at SIDS. Just arrive between 7 a.m. and 8:45 a.m. and save $10 off your purchase of $30 or more with the coupon you'll get from SIDS Early Bird Greeter.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
What do Motorola, Elmhurst College, the Lincoln Park Zoo, and Ball Horticultural have in common? They have all been partners with WRD Environmental, an ecological consulting firm that has created sustainable landscapes since 1997. WRD Environmental designs, installs, manages, and consults on projects and programs that conserve natural resources, promote sustainability, cultivate biodiversity, and restore nature's balance. But just as important, WRD is a good partner. Whether it's managing a large-scale conservation development or cultivating a community greening initiative, clients trust WRD to anticipate, prevent, and solve potential problems. WRD Environmental takes a comprehensive approach to every project, keeping the overall objectives in mind and building teams along the way to achieve the best results. WRD is all about innovation and execution with unparalleled focus. So when you're looking for a partner to help your business literally change the world around it, choose WRD. WRD Environmental, where the built and natural environments meet.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs, vegetable gardens too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
All right, I'm going to tell you folks who are hanging on the line. I'm going to give you hints. Bruce, too high. Mary, too low. Laurie, too low. Amy, too high. All right? Start working on it. And then I'm going to get to that in just a second. Who doesn't love spaghetti sauce? Well, to get the best tomatoes and herbs, get some of Dr. Earth's tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer. Its organic blend contains fish bone meal, which will provide your tomatoes with proper calcium and prevent blossom end rot. The heartbreak of blossom end rot. Dr. Earth's tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer is also packed with 7 champion strains of beneficial soil microbes, which help make nutrients available to your plants. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. 35 million satisfied customers, can't be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. I don't imagine you have that music in your film.
No.
But that's the Warner Brothers. It's a little baby bumblebee music.
Great.
I love it. I was playing this before the show, and Mike Sanders was here. He goes, oh, I remember that music. Everybody, you must. As a filmmaker, though, you listen to things, and you must think, oh, I can use that. I can use that. I can use that.
Exactly. It's always the... what is going to really bring out those beautiful images in the film? What's going to bring out the story? And music plays such a great, great role in that. And Jamie Sieber is the musician in the film. She's who did the score. Incredible. Cellist.
Lovely score, yes.
Yeah.
We got guesses all over the place. Okay. They're changing them. Did Mary change hers and Laurie change hers?
I do not know. Well, they may have after your hint. So.
Okay, here we go. Let's go to line one. Bruce in Chicago, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, how many bees?
60 billion.
Too low. Thank you for calling. Let's go to line two. Let's go to Mary in Chicago. What's your guess, Mary?
I'm going
to
say 200 billion.
That is too high. I believe that was already guessed, wasn't it?
Well, you...
Oh, I tell you. Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
not really. All right, 200 million, billion is a little too high. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Laurie in Chicago.
Hi there.
Hi. What's your guess?
150 billion.
You got it.
Congratulations.
Yay! 150. I mean, why are we going yay?
Yay!
Well, because she just won tickets to a wonderful film.
That's true.
That's why she's yaying.
It's great. I'll tell you what. Do you want two or four? I'm going to be generous.
Four would be great.
All right. We're going to get you four tickets. Did we say Taggart any day or Tuesday or when do we want?
Any day you like.
All right, any day you like. If you want to come and see me on Tuesday, introduce the film, that's fine too. If you don't, I'm not going to, my feelings won't be hurt.
Okay. Actually, Tuesday would probably work. So.
Okay, great, cool. If you do come and say hi, I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
And by the way, Amy and Valparaiso, hang on a second. We'll ask you a different question because we got another one coming up. And Heather will get your information, Lori. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
All right. That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just incredible how many have died. And it's still continuing all over the world. In fact, the United Nations said out of the 100 crops that were growing out there, 70% of those crops are pollinated by bees. And so we need to protect our...
70%?
70% are...
And apparently, of all crops in the world, 40% are pollinated by bees?
Yes.
It's a $15 billion industry in just the United States alone. Yeah. On and on and on. Now, the interesting thing is honeybees, Apis mellifera, they're not native here.
Right.
This is what they call the European honeybee. And there are people, and I'm so glad that in the movie you go into the idea of native pollinators as well, because now obviously you can't control them the way you do these and move them around, and which may not be a good thing anyway. But the point is, there are native pollinators out there, and the honeybee just something we've adapted to. It's been a wonderful partner, I guess, for human beings.
For the last 12,000 years, in fact. I mean, imagine man always chasing that beautiful honey and then realizing the Egyptians knew it, the Mayans knew it, the Greeks knew it, that this was an insect worth worshiping. And the Egyptians used to keep their honey in the tombs, and it's still edible after 2,000, 3,000 years.
Yeah, you have that wonderful, not illustrations, but animations in there that are just wonderful. Who did your animation?
It's actually claymation. There are four different animators. Mm-hmm. So we had animators from around the world that sent in animation, and we just loved the style and the techniques, because some are painted on glass, some are claymation, and another one is just cut out kind of like collage. Mm-hmm. But it illustrates these things like nuptial flight, the queen bee flying 600 feet up in the air to mate with 12 to 15 drones, the males, and you can't film that. So animation is...
Somebody will.
Yes.
I'm serious. Yeah. Someday, somebody will figure out how to do that. We don't have that technology
yet. Now, can you imagine being a male bee chasing that queen?
Yes, actually.
Just like way up to the sun, mating with her, and he dies, unfortunately, after he mates with her.
Oh, now I can't imagine it at all. Yeah. All right, no, that's not my style.
Yeah.
I hear queens have that effect on people.
I don't know. But yeah, you know, it is amazing that they go up the high. But now we're trying to bypass that. And it's another issue you identify in the film, is that we're, you know, trying to breed queens. And they might not. They don't live as long.
Yeah, they live. They used to live 3 to 4 years. Now they're living less than a year. So our problem.
Tells you something, doesn't it?
Well, since the 1920s, Rudolf Steiner, the great thinker, said in 1923 that if bees are continued, if we continue the practice of queen breeding, we're going to have a problem in 80 to 100 years. And that's now. You know, we've seen the devastation of over queen breeding. We've weakened them, the vitality, so they can't fight, you know, viruses and pathogens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that may be part of the whole thing,
yes,
too. All right, let's ask another question. We're going to go to line five and bring Amy back in. Amy, you called back, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
This is good. This is good. We're going to ask you an easier question. Which one do you want to ask, Heather? Do you have a let's
give her a nice yes or no answer.
Okay. do bees sleep?
No.
Yay!
Yay!
No, but bees can be found resting in empty cells. They do rest. They don't sleep. You've got two tickets to go see Queen of the Sun.
Great!
So hang on, and Heather will get you the information. We need to ask another. Let's ask one more, and we'll have some more people call, because we've got two pairs left, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
It's at the Music Box, too.
Yes, it's at the Music Box in Chicago. Oh. Do you ever get up to Chicago, Amy?
Yes, I was there last night.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you'll be back this week again.
Great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Hold on. And that's Amy from Valparaiso. Heather, bring up the screen again. I want to ask one more question here. Let's see. Number of eggs that a queen can lay in one day. This is a good one. So call me, 773-838-9278, if you've got a guess on that. We've only got a couple of minutes here. And what have I missed here? I mean, there's so much there. You're going to see people working with bees. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because the one question that didn't get answered for me in the movie, because I'm not a beekeeper, and I haven't taken a course, probably should study, but everybody's got a little smoke pot, but you don't explain in the movie what they're doing with it.
With the smoker.
Yeah.
The smoker is really key, because when you open a beehive, you smoke them because it pacifies them. It makes them feel like there's actually a forest fire, so you wouldn't think that's pacifying, but they go and gorge themselves on honey. And then they're so happy when they realize there's no fire and it's all okay. They're easy to handle at that.
So point. Here's why. So you put the smoke in and it's, dude, take the honey now. Oh, I feel so good.
That's good. And what about the woman dancing with 12,000 bees on her body at the beginning of the film?
My question is she wearing anything under there?
She's not. I had two hours of filming her crawling around on the ground waiting for the bees to come on her body.
Can I see the outtakes, please? I'm sorry.
No, it was amazing. And she danced for a long time.
Wow. Okay.
You'll see that also, Yvon Huchard tickling his bees with his mustache.
Yes. I mean, you see some interesting stuff there. I was going to say weird, but I'll say interesting. All right. The way people approach bees is people who are beekeepers, they're different creatures. Yeah. The rest of us, you know what? And if you're the kind of person who goes, a bee, stop it. Just stop it right now. Just stop it. Okay.
They keep us alive.
Is it true they can smell fear?
Well, if somebody gets stung, then they release a pheromone that says, okay, we got to guard our beehive.
Yeah.
But generally bees do not sting you. I got stung twice, and I was around millions and millions of bees. I mean, it's amazing. So normally bees don't sting you. Wasps might, and they're the carnivores that are around your picnic table. They're not a bee. They're a wasp.
Yeah, that's
wasps
the other
thing. Wasps and yellow jackets are enemies in my yard.
Those are not bees, but people use the generic term bee, and they think that's what it is. We got calls coming in. Taggart, let's grab those. We'll ask. Hang on. Can you stay here for the rest
of
the day?
Sure, no
I got
problem.
Other stuff going on, but that's Taggart Siegel, director of Queen of the Sun, one of the bees telling us at the Music Box Theater through May 5th. I will be introducing the film Tuesday evening at the 7:30 showing. You can call them at 773-871-6604. I guess that gives you the times of the film, and contact the Music Box if you want to. And of course, I've got the link to Queen of the Sun at my website, mikenovak.net. This week's show. Pleasure having you in the studio. Thank you for coming down. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Do you feel a little bit like, excuse me, a little bit like Bill Murray from Caddyshack when you walk through your yard? Bonide understands. That's why they have Molmax. Bonide Molmax is an effective repellent to use against moles, voles, rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks, and other burrowing animals. It's in the hole. The environmentally friendly Molmax formulation makes it safe to apply in areas where children, pets, and even golfers play. Just apply 3 to 4 times per year to send nuisance animal pests away. Molmax is available in 10-pound bags that cover 5,000 square feet or in a convenient 5-pound shaker applicator. Molmax is also available in a quart-sized ready-to-spray liquid with a built-in hose end sprayer. Molmax can be found at Kinnish Village, Greenhouse, and Palatine, Prestige Nursery Garden Center in West Chicago, Tholins Garden Center in Bourbonnais, or Visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it to your computer. The app features a search engine where you can type in the name of a pest or weed and find a solution. You can get it at Bonide.com.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low-nitrogen, slow-release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
All right. In a second, we'll have some other winners here, but it's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Now, Wally says, and this is a great tip, if you want to garden scientifically, you need a rapid test dial soil thermometer, number 1630 by Luster Leaf Products, Inc. At least he's specific. It takes the guesswork out of when to plant. Even better, the face of the thermometer is marked off with minimum planting temperatures of commonly grown vegetables. You simply insert the thermometer to a maximum depth of 2 or 3 inches in the soil. Check the temperature recorded after 3 minutes. Plants that like temperatures above 50 degrees are Chinese cabbage, leeks, onions, Swiss chard, and turnips. When the soil warms to 60 degrees, warm season and many cool season vegetables can be sown, including beans, beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, and cauliflower. Now, Wally waits for the soil to warm up to 70 degrees to plant warm season vegetables, including tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, cucumber, squash, corn, and melons. A complete list is at Pesci's.com. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Pesci's, 3 generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. When we're serving Swiss chard.
Right. And honey.
And honey. All right. The question was, how many eggs, and Taggart is still in the studio here. Let's go back to that question, Heather. How many eggs can a queen lay in one day? And our first contestant is on line 2, and that's Linda in Highland Park. Hi, Linda. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi.
What is your guess?
My guess is 2,000.
It's actually 1,000 to 3,000 is what this site tells us. And Taggart, you have some more information about that?
Well, the amazing thing, it's more, they lay more than their body weight. So imagine laying 1,500 eggs a day. And it's more than the bees, the queen's body weight. It's that's really an amazing thing. All the worker bees, all the females are taking care of her while this is going on.
Isn't that just an amazing, and in the film you get to see the queens doing this. It's not the scientific up close, but you see her sort of going from cell to cell to cell to cell, and laying the eggs. So, Linda, you've got 2 tickets to go to the film at the Music Box Theater. I'm going to put you on hold, Heather. We'll get your information and send you, we'll figure out, you're going to have to go and pick them up there. It'll be a will call kind of thing, and we'll arrange it, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, and thank you for calling. I appreciate it. And is our guy there? Where is he? On line 3. Wait, I just put...
You just hit the wrong button and nearly gave me a heart attack. Line 3.
Line 3? Oh, did I just hang up on... No, Linda was on line 2. All right, you got her there. Okay.
Let me push the buttons.
I got to push some of them here. Greg Exidy from Bob X. How you doing, Greg?
Good, Mike. How you doing today?
Fine. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. You and I have been talking recently about the weather, and we talked to Rick DeMaio, my meteorologist, earlier, and it has been a cool season here in the northern climes. In the south, they've had warm weather and tornadoes, and it's It's been – before I forget, because I got distracted by Heather here, not your fault. I got distracted by myself. We should also say that we're going to give 2 tickets away to Snarky Vegan. Because online, she also – I mean on Twitter, she said 2,000 eggs per day. So Snarky Vegan, you get that. You get 2 tickets too.
Or email us her information.
Yes, send the information to us, one of our by secret to carrier pigeon there, Snarky Vegan. Back to Greg. It's been warm in the south but cool in the north here in Chicago, but also out where you are, which is Connecticut way, right?
Yeah, well, I've been talking to people all across the country, from Portland to Wisconsin, Ohio, northeast, and everywhere in the upper northern half of the United States. The spring's been very cool and very wet across the board. So we've all had a kind of a delay in, spring is late coming in for everybody. But this weekend, you guys in Chicago sent us a beautiful weekend finally. We have a sunny weekend here in New England, and it's about, 60s, mid-60s, and all the sunshine you could possibly want.
And
so
of course,
finally, spring is here.
Yeah, and we do manufacture those in Chicago and send them your way, just so you know.
You don't keep them because it's always windy over there.
But the point is that when you're using repellents on plants that are growing in the spring, the weather affects them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You, of course, work for Bob-X. In fact, your dad started the Bob-X company, and I should mention that Bob-X, of course, is a great sponsor of the Mike Novak Show, and we really appreciate it here.
Thank you.
And I like you guys. That's the other thing. I really like you guys. I like you, and I like the people I talk to are always friendly. If you ever need help, you just give them, pick up the phone, call them, go to bobx.com, and you can get all the information. So how does that weather affect the way you're going to use a product like that?
Well, specifically now, bringing all that big general discussion down to little Bob-X now, or let's just talk about repellents, liquid repellents and granular repellents. Repellents, let's just broaden the conversation to all repellents now, because this impacts everybody when you're using some type of product on your plantings to deter herbivores or animals. What's happening now is you're getting a big push right now from this warmth that we're getting. The hostas are about 6-7 inches out of the ground, and they're really growing great. Well, you got to spray now. You got to applicate your granulars down now, because with every 2 inches of growth on those hostas, that's all unprotected growth, and they're going to come in. They're going to eat that down. The areas you don't spray, or you haven't sprayed. A good example is that impatient. When you put an impatient in the ground, it's a little sprig, maybe 4 or 5 inches tall by about 2.5 inches wide. By the end of the season, it's grown about an 18-inch in circumference, in diameter. And where did all that growth come from? And all that growth is unprotected. Unprotected growth is just going to be decimated by the deer.
Is it different? I mean, our growth has been slowed by the cool weather. Does that make any, that doesn't make any difference though, does it? Because it's still
no. It's not going to impact the plants. They'll come out and have their cycles as they normally would. It's nothing. We've had cool springs in the past. We've had warm springs in the past. It's just when you're using the products like ours, you just have to follow your manufacturer's suggested reapplication rates. And if you detour from them, the animals know your yard better than you do. And they're just waiting for that the defenses to come down, and then they're going to pounce on you. So.
Yeah, they are. And again, depending on the season, what they've had in the winter to eat, which might not have been very much, they might eat anything.
Well, they're starving. This year we had, in the Northeast, we had more snow than you can shake a stick at. We had 3 feet, 4 feet of snow at once, all at once. So if they survived the winter, they're hungry right now, and their natural resources have been depleted. So they're waiting for your buffets that you've planted for them to start sprouting out of the ground.
Yep, that's what we talk about, the buffet that they'll come and get, like daylilies and tulips. Oh, my goodness. They love that stuff, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the candy. That's candy for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a little bit about, all right, I had a question a couple of weeks ago, and you and I chatted off air about this, which is I had a vegan write and said, what do you do if you're a vegan and you don't want to use any animal products? What you call them proteins, right?
Yep. Now, here's a problem for our particular product with it, when it comes to vegans. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the philosophy of vegans are, whether they can't use products, they can't wear, they can't eat. I'm not sure exactly where they draw the line. But if they draw the line all the way to the point where they can't use products that have animal byproducts or animals, you know, parts of them in there, then our product is not for them. We use proteins. We use several different proteins from fish and from chickens and things like that. And those proteins are what deter the animals. Now, you have to be careful. Again, I don't know where they draw the lines. Are eggs, you know, you have to ask the personal, you know, what their personal preferences are. But if they're not eating eggs or anything like that, or they don't want to use eggs or anything, a lot of the products out there have eggs or an egg-based product with either garlic or a hot sauce or hot pepper or capsaicin in it. So what I recommend somebody who is believes in the vegan way to go out to a large independent garden center, okay? Don't go to the big boxes because the big boxes only have about two brands. Go to somebody, you know, for example, like Pasquazi's up by U Chalet. You know all the big names there.
Sure, places like Gethsemane, Sid's, Growing Place. Yeah, all those places out there.
Alslips, I think it is out that way.
Alsip? Yeah.
So go to one of those locations and take a look because they'll have about seven or eight products. And then what's out there is they have these essential oils that people they're this what we classify as a smell goods, and they you know they have a cinnamon and things like that, and they use you know they use some lighter things to deter or to make the shrubs strange. Now those products may comply with the vegan beliefs, but what I recommend on all 25B products, all minimum risk pesticide products. We have to list every ingredient in our product, so you can find everything. If you know that there are 25B products, you can find at the back. Turn the label around or turn the product around. Look at the back, see what's in there. And then if there's anything questionable, you know it, and you don't have to buy that brand.
Yeah, as you pointed out to me, it's hard for a company like yours to put that online because you have proprietary ingredients.
Correct.
But you are required by law to put them on the back of the actual bottle, right?
Yep, and it's you won't find any of the ingredients listed for all of us and the Internet. That's just not disclosed by all the manufacturers.
Yeah.
But on the shelf, we all have to do it, so you can go out on the shelf.
So that's one of the ways you do it. And like you said, you go to your local independent gardens. You go to, your favorite person who talks to you and gives you advice and say, hey, which product do you know is vegan? Which doesn't have any eggs? Which doesn't have any protein, blood meal, you know, that sort of thing in there? Greg...
So, One last thing
yes.
on that.
Yeah.
You have to be careful. On 25B minimum risk pesticide products, we all have to list the inerts. On EPA-approved pesticides, the inerts don't have to be specified.
Mm.
So if you've got an EPA-approved product, you still won't know what's in it. So just to let you know, they don't have to disclose because they went through the EPA registry process.
There's always a gotcha, isn't there?
Yeah, be careful. So be careful what you're looking at.
All right, Greg Exidy from Bobex, always a pleasure to have you on the show. A great sponsor of the Mike Novak Show, and that's fabulous information. And you and I will talk again in the future, and, when I'm out Connecticut way, I'm going to look you up. Look out.
Well, I'll be there in August. We'll have to have dinner at the IGC sometime, Mike.
Excellent. Let's do that.
All right.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. This isn't a tip from the care of trees, but it's still a tip to you. One of my listeners sent me a tweet several weeks back. It read, live in a huge condo complex, used to be Arlington golf course. I can't even read this. Arlington Club Golf Course. Care of Trees takes care of us. They do a great job. Beautiful. I love to receive messages like that. It doesn't surprise me when I do. It's because I know the people at the Care of Trees, not just as advertisers, but as clients, friends, and concerned environmentalists who have worked with me in organizations like MELA, the Midwest Ecological Landscaping Association. It's not surprising that the Care of Trees was recognized in 2010 for the sixth straight year as a company that cares. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Packed with power, back to nature, Cotton Burr Compost makes more nutrients available to your plants by feeding the organisms that feed your soil. Cotton Burr Compost is newer in this neck of the woods, but it's been used as a soil conditioner in the South for over 200 years. Famous for its ability to loosen clay soil, the organic mixture, which consists of composted cotton burrs, improves moisture retention in sandy soils, keeps harmful organisms in check, and unlike wood and wood-based compost, won't tie up nutrients. Cotton burrs are rich in protein and carbon. They also contain significant amounts of plant macro and micronutrients, and when composted, cotton burrs are a superior source for beneficial soil organisms that help make your plants healthy. And it's affordable. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I both love Back to Nature products, so why not give them a try? Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost is available at Fertile Gardens in Chicago, Illinois, Hawks Nursery in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, Pasquazi's in Lake Bluff in Barrington, Illinois. Get back to the earth with Back to Nature.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Sustainable Food Fundamentals is sponsored in part by Pearl Valley Eggs. Support an Illinois family farm that does it right. Insist on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop.
And on Sustainable Food Fundamentals, brought to you by Pearl Valley Eggs. This week, Meg Runyon is on the line. Hello, Meg. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
It's good to talk to you. She's from Wild Goose Farm in Grays Lake, Illinois. And as I mentioned earlier, you're one of this growing, forgive the pun, growing crop of farmers who are learning how to farm.
That's right.
And you're surrounded by people who will help you. Explain how this all works out there in Grays Lake.
Okay, so my farm, Wild Goose Farm, is located inside a subdivision called Prairie Crossing in Grays Lake. And the subdivision was developed to have organic farms be a part of the subdivision. So there's a section that's all houses, and there's walking trails and prairie restoration going on there. And then there's another section that is set aside for organic farming. And there is a foundation that started a program to help beginning farmers. It's called the Farm Business Development Center at Prairie Crossing. And so the farmers that are participating in that are all beginning farmers with less than, haven't been farming on their own before.
Well,
worked for other farmers, but they haven't farmed before.
Yeah, I understand that. And you can only be in the program about 5 years, right? And then they kick you out and say, all right, now go make a living.
Yeah, that's right. The idea is that by that time, we'll have gotten, really good experience and are able to show a bank and show investors that we really have something good going and that we're ready to invest in land and go out on our own.
And you've been doing this how long now?
This will be my third year, so I'm in, right in the middle.
So are you feeling like you're gearing up, like you're going to be able to, you know, in 2 years, go out and farm on your own?
I think so. You know, I've been starting to develop relationships with people in the community. I have a wonderful church that is very supportive of me, and we are talking, trying to figure out how can, like, a congregation support a farmer.
Oh, that's interesting,
yeah.
Because I was wondering, who are your peeps there? But you've got a you've got a congregation behind you.
I do. North Suburban Mennonite Church is the church that I go to in Libertyville, and there's very excited about sustainable agriculture and really want to support that. And they're excited that they have a farmer in their group. And I'm excited that I've got a group of people that are really thrilled and want to support me. And my family's in the Chicago area, too, and they've been supportive as well.
But who else is out there, you know, tilling and hoeing with you?
Yeah.
It's not just you, is it?
No, it's not just me. There are 6 farms inside of Prairie Crossing. There's one big farm, Sandhill Organics, and they're more of they serve as a mentor. I worked for them 1 year before I started farming on my own, and they still serve as mentors for me. So the other people who are also participating in the business development program, there are a great support too. There's a lot of peer learning that goes on once a month.
So the idea is that does everybody work on all the farms there? Is that how that works?
No, we're all our own separate businesses.
Oh, okay.
And we all go to different markets. So it's not like it's a co-op of farms. But we do help each other out. It's not one of those where we are, you know, fighting each other for customers, because there's such a huge need in Chicago. And so we are just trying to help each other figure out, you know, we've got this late spring that's happening this year, and
yeah.
So we're all just, you know, supporting one another, twiddling our thumbs. And
Well, are you kind of sitting around waiting to get stuff in the ground?
A little bit. I mean, there's still stuff to do. We've got lots of greenhouse work to do, so we're trying to get ahead on all the little projects so that once the soil dries out and is warm enough that we can just concentrate on putting seeds and seedlings out into the field. Because once we've got that window, it's going to be a mad dash.
Yeah, and I love your quote. Your Wild Goose Farm comes from your quote that says, "Life often feels like a wild goose chase. It's always full of surprises, and farming is no exception." That's great.
Yes.
And you
so
have
true.
And you have a CSA, and you go to farmers markets. So can people still sign up for your CSA?
Definitely. I definitely still have room in my CSA. I've got a couple drop sites in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, one in Libertyville, one in Grays Lake, and one down in West Chicago, which is where I grew up. And the church that I grew up going to down there have also been very supportive from the very beginning. And so I've got people who used to be my Sunday school teachers buying my CSA shares. It's hilarious, and I love it.
That's
love
great.
It.
Well, Meg Runyon, you're going to be back on the show. I'm going to keep progress of you as well. She's with Wild Goose Farm. Go to my website, mikenovak.net, this week. And you knew this was going to go fast. It's gone really fast, and we will talk really soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Sustainable Food Fundamentals is brought to you in part by Healthy Grow Lawn and Garden Food, part of the Pearl Valley Organics family. Learn more at healthygrow.com.
Okay, that's it for the Mike Novak Show. I was going to tell you how to grow Swiss chard because Dan Costa sent me some information. I don't even have time for that, so we'll talk next week about that. I want to thank Taggart Siegel for being here, Heather Fry, Mark Munger. We'll be back next week. Until then, go green or go home!
That's what beans had to come with. I'll be ready to